Or read it with me. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey the word that I hear today in Yeshua's name. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. He is good. He's good because his word shows us he's good, instructs us that he's good, and our experience confirms that God is indeed good. He's called us out of darkness and into his glorious light. We were lost in our sins, right? And he made a way for us. I don't know about you, but I can only speak for myself. I didn't deserve it. And he made a way for us. He found us, and he called us to himself. And as believers, He gives us or imparts to us a measure of faith, and that's basic faith. And he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants our faith to grow and develop and to mature. And here in our text that we've been using over the past 7 weeks or so, God is trying to convey to us attributes that we need to add to our faith. So our faith will go from a basic saving faith, which is awesome, by the way, to a mature faith that will give us everything we need for life and godliness, that we could walk through life victoriously, filled with the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, not bothered by the ups and downs in life, right, but able to walk through by his power. So let's read our text found in Kepha Bet chapter 1, or 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the one who called us to his own glory and goodness. By these he has given us valuable and superlatively great promises so that through them you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. For this very reason, try your hardest to furnish your faith with goodness, goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with perseverance, perseverance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you have these qualities in abundance, they keep you from being barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Indeed, whoever lacks them is blind, so short-sighted that he forgets that his past sins have been washed away. Therefore, brothers, try even harder to make your being called and chosen a certainty. For if you keep doing this, you will never stumble. Thus, you will be generously supplied with everything you need to enter the eternal kingdom of our Lord and deliverer, Yeshua, the Messiah. That is a mouthful. And there is so much in those verses to unpack. Obviously, it's taken us 7 weeks to go through it, and today's no exception. We've gone over how the scriptures exhort us to add these attributes to our faith, things that will positively affect our faith, causing it to be fruitful. You know, everyone has a measure of faith, but as we can look and observe in the body of Messiah, not everyone's faith is as fruitful as others. And part of that reason is because we need to be diligent, try our hardest to add to our faith so that we would have a productive, fruitful, mature faith. Someone say amen. Well, so last week, Rabbi Carroll spoke on brotherly affection and what that looks like. Today, I will speak on love, which some commentators say is the top rung of these seven attributes. The truth is, love is what every human is looking for and in need of, whether we realize it or not. And not only, not any old love will do. Because as nice as brotherly love is, and that's pretty nice, right, to be affectionate toward the brethren, whether that be our natural family or the family of God, it falls short of what we need, and it falls short of what we need to give to others. We need the love of God. And that word for love found in our text is agape, or agapeo. And so we're going to talk about first is, what is agape love? Agapeo, the Greek word translated love here, think of this, is a love that refers to the love of God. It is also used as the type of love a believer should reflect toward others. So here's the thing. If we never receive God's love for ourselves, we'll never reflect that love to others. Okay? So that's why it's important to receive God's love, to walk in God's love. Because then, and only then, can we reflect that love toward others. Agape is the very nature of God. It's who God is in his essence. God is love. Every part of God is love. Even the parts of God that tells us no. Even the parts of God that punishes sin is the love of God. We might not be able to understand that, but the truth is every inch of God is love. Yochanan Aleph, 1 John chapter 4 says this, "Beloved friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has God as his father and knows God. Those who do not love do not know God because God is love." Here is how God showed his love among us. God sent his only son into the world so that through him we might have life. Just pause on that for a second. I know we think we need a lot of extra things in our life to feel blessed and happy. The truth is, God showed us the full measure of his love by sending Yeshua for us. Some of us need a real revelation of that. He's given us life, true life, through his son. Here is what love is. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the kapara for our sins. Beloved friends, if this is how God loved us, we likewise ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains united with us, and our love for him has been brought to its goal in us. Verse 16. Also, we have come to know and trust the love of God, or the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who remain in this love remain united with God, and God remains united with them. So that relationship we have with God is based on our remaining in his love and his love remaining in us. It's about love. We don't talk about love much, but that's who God is. It's easy for us to have worldly love, you know, love that loves our own. But when we think about the love of God, God loved people who hated him, were at enmity with him, despised him. God loved them. That's love. So when you think you can't get along with a brother or sister in the faith, think of that, God's love. And the key to understanding agape is to realize that it is known from the action it prompts. In truth, agape love is love in action. We all say things like, "Oh, I love you." Right? We could say it, but agape love is demonstrated. It's demonstrated by our actions, not mere words. And by the way, our love for God is demonstrated in action as well. That's why we could come into the sanctuary of God and weep. We could lift our hands. We could look so right. But if we leave this place and our actions don't line up with the Word of God, how he wants us to live our life, that's not what love is. And I'm not saying we're perfect, because God knows we're far from perfect. But our actions should be lining up more and more each and every day with the ways of God and how he expects us to be. You see, people are accustomed to thinking of love as a feeling, right? Matter of fact, everything you see on TV, I dare to say even the Hallmark Channel. Oh! Sorry, ladies, I said it. A lot of what we see on TV, if not 99%, is lust. That's all it is. It's not love. It's not love. You know, men, you know, love is doing the dishes. It's action. Right? We agreed to be a helpmate to each other, so it's about helping. Yeah, it's not only a one-faceted love, it is being those that demonstrate we love our spouse. Agape love, because of what it does, not how it feels. You know, think of Yeshua. He wasn't necessarily feeling it too much, was he? Oh, I can't wait to hang on that tree, man. Can't wait till I feel those nails going through me. That's getting me so excited, so pumped. Now, it wasn't about feeling at all. It was about a demonstration, an act, a willful act of sacrifice. That's love. It says, for God so loved, agape, that's the word, that he gave his only son. It did not feel good to do that, but it was the loving thing to do. Messiah so loved people. He so loved you. He so loved me that he gave his life. He did not want to die, but he loved us, and he did what God required. A mother who loves a sick child will stay up all night long if necessary to care for it, which is not something she wants to do, right? Moms with young kids or grandmas with young kids around, you don't want to do it, but you do it out of love, knowing that that's what the child needs. That's agape love. Agape love is not simply an impulse generated from our feelings. Instead, agape love is an exercise of our will. It's a deliberate choice. This is why Adonai can command us to love our enemies in Matityahu 5 and Exodus 23. He is not commanding us to have good feelings for our enemies, but to act in a loving way toward them. Agape love is related to obedience and commitment and not necessarily feeling and emotion. Loving someone is to obey God in how to act toward others, seeking they're good. Friends, you know what? It's funny. Love is a funny thing. We all love to receive it, but we don't love giving it as much. You know, it's so easy to receive, but sometimes challenging to give. Why? Because it's not about our feelings, and sometimes we don't feel like giving or feel like sacrificing or feel like doing or feel like acting. But love prompts us to do that. The way to know that we love God is that we keep his mitzvot, Yeshua said, right? That you act in a certain way. He gets it. He walked in the flesh. He understood that sometimes his flesh maybe wanted to go right, but if God said go left, that's where he went. Yeshua said, whoever has my mitzvot and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Yochanan 14:21. There are some who say they love God, but their lifestyle is contrary to the will of God. These people mistake their feeling of affection for God, even their tears, for love. Yeshua made this clear. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. That includes the tough things we are instructed to do. Not just the easy things, but the difficult things. Love, agape love, should be the crowning characteristic of the way we live our life in relation to other people. The people of God are to be known for their love toward one another. And I want to say another thing about love. Love isn't always, sometimes love is tough love. How many times does God say no to you? He says no to me quite a lot. And, you know, God's not a pushover. God's not going to give me something that's not good for me. And God's not going to tell me everything's okay if everything is not okay. God's going to tell me the way it is because he does love me and wants the end of the road to end up in the right place. That's true love. Yochanan 13:35 says, everyone will know that you are my Talmidim by the fact that you have love for each other. Action. They'll see it. They'll see actions, right? People can't see emotion. They can't see, oh, look at the love just floating around this room. Oh, my goodness, this is like a love fest. This is love. I just see sprinkles and, woo, rainbows of love. Sparkles of love falling on each of you. I see it. See it just raining on you. Love, right? No. What they see is people see action, how you treat one another, how you speak to one another, the things you do for one another. That's love. Actions. Agape can be further defined, because you know what? This is so important because we make up our own definitions of love. We make our own definitions of things. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love this. Oh, I love that. Really? Agape could be further defined. Hear this. I know this is going to be our favorite. A self-sacrificing commitment to seek the highest good of the one loved. Self-sacrificing commitment to seek the highest good of the one you love. God so loved the world that he gave. I think when I look at what the world calls love, it's all about getting. It's not about giving. Even in the body of Messiah, we come to worship, we think, to get God's presence, to get God's favor, to get God's attention for our needs. Well, this says that God's love gave. That's the God kind of love. If we're going to have love toward God, our love should what? Come to give to God our worship. Give to God our service. Give to God, not just get from God, but to give to God all that we are. Ouch. At times, we must even go against our feelings of pride, laziness, or self-centeredness to demonstrate love for others and for God. The good news is that you and I can practice it here each week. It's true. Yeah, instead of keeping to yourself, which you may prefer, right? Look for others who may be new or alone and go out of your way to make them feel welcome. If the person is obviously hurting, pray with them. If they seem lonely, be friendly and keep them company. Simple, right? And so the list that began with goodness, right? Add to your faith goodness, now ends with love. So what does love look like practically? If we are to try our hardest to add love to our faith, then we best know what we are aiming for. So let's look at what love is and how love is demonstrated. How is love demonstrated? So this is about what love does, not how it feels. Every believer is able to make a conscious choice to act toward others in this way. So love is, it does, and it acts toward others. Say that with me. Love is, does, and acts toward others. Okay? It's not just a word. I love you. It is, it does, and it acts toward others. And first off, love is kind. Kindness, to provide something beneficial for someone as an act of kindness, to do something for them. Human kindness, the scriptures also teach, because that's contrasted to human kindness, the scriptures teach that divine kindness is to be reflected in the human experience. Indeed, expressing kindness to other human beings is more important than performing ritual sacrifice to God, says the Tanakh. Thus, we are to love kindness, Micah 6:8, and to be children of the Most High, exhibiting His kindness and mercy. Exhibiting, say exhibiting. Showing kindness and mercy, Luke 6. And even more direct is the simple injunction to be kind. Can I tell you? This is the craziest thing. But in the kingdom of God, I think I experienced just as much kindness before I was in the kingdom than since being in the kingdom. Right? Believers aren't always kind. And that's okay. Doesn't hurt my feelings. But it gets my attention. Because God says here, add to your faith. Add to your faith. He gets it. That we don't come out of the chute just being kind. Add to your faith. Love. And how do you demonstrate love? By being kind toward others. Friend, do you always feel like being kind? No. But you can be kind. And so kind is doing something for someone else that's beneficial toward them. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Messiah God forgave you. We love that, that God forgave us, and we can forgive others. Amen? Rav Shaul takes the injunction a step further and claims to exemplify kindness in his own life to a degree that commends his ministry as authentic, that he showed kindness to the folks there in the Corinthian Kehillah. People can often be mean-spirited. But as representatives of God's kingdom, we need to choose to be kind toward all. Amen. Or oh my. Whichever, it's fine. You know, the truth is, God wants us to grow. Because you might not be the kindest, you know, tack in the box. Maybe you're not. Maybe you are. Maybe you got that one nailed down, but maybe you're not. And that's okay, too. The truth is, you could change. You could be kind. You could choose to be kind toward your spouse. Be kind toward your family. Be kind toward your coworkers. Be kind toward others. You can. Next thing is to be patient. I know we love to be patient, right? Let's all pray for patience right now. I can see it. No, Rabbi, please, never. Listen, a simple trip to the store is all you need to see how impatient most people are. Rabbi Carol and myself were driving just the other day. I'm stopped at the light. The second it turned green, I mean, I couldn't even twitch. They're beeping. I was like, am I at the drag strip or am I sitting in a traffic light? They would be angry that I didn't move. The thing just turned. I didn't even get a chance to blink. And they're on the horn and they're going by you. Wow. Impatient. We live in an impatient world, right? You go to the store. We have this conversation. You go to the store, and you know how it goes. They have 10 registers, one or two open. Now, I know, we get angry at that. That store, you got 10 registers, there's only two people here. And the line's out there, I don't want to wait. It's so frustrated and angry, right? Come on, that's where we live, right? We're getting ruffled. But I said to Rabbi Carl, I said, you know what? What if they could only afford to have two people working? to business. I mean, what if they could only afford to have two people working? Should we be frothing at the back of the line? Getting worked up so we could give that cashier a piece of our mind when we get to the top, or go to that service desk and tell them, you need to get more people here? What if four people called in sick? Patience to be able to just relax. Hey, maybe in that time of waiting, God has something for you. Someone for you to talk to. An act of kindness for you to do. Maybe when you get to the register and the woman's dealt with nine other people who are at her because they had to wait, you're kind to her. And she says, wow, that's refreshing. See, we as believers sometimes get caught up in the way the world does business, and we do business just like them. Oh, everyone else before me was angry. You know what? I'm angry too. Stinking store. Never coming back to this store. Then you go to the other store. That's always great. Now they only have one person. Because God's trying to teach you something. Be patient. Amen? So to be patient is to what? Is to endure discomfort without complaint. Think of that. Patience, endure discomfort without complaint. Enough said. Love is never jealous. We are jealous when we envy the accomplishments or qualities of others. We want what they have or who they are. We are not satisfied with ourselves and our lot in life. Jealousy is usually accompanied with resentment concerning the blessings of others. Love, agape love, is the antithesis of jealousy. It rejoices. When you get blessed, awesome. When you get a new thing, so happy for you. When you get promoted, even though I got demoted, awesome, I'm glad you did. You know, we laugh at that, but can you really do that? You got promoted, I got demoted. Awesome, instead of awesome. That's so awesome. Thanks. Oh, yeah, you got promoted, I got demoted. Yeah, love you, bro. No, but love says, that's awesome. You got something new. So happy for you, but genuinely. Friend, you know what I learned the more and more I walk with God? None of this is about me. It's not about me. God is not that into me in that sort of way, where he was just wants to wait on my, you know, hand and foot. No, God is actually looking for me to wait on others. And that's where the blessing really is. That's where God really comes and kisses us in service, in patience, where you could come and be gracious and not jealous when other people are blessed and other people get promoted and other people excel. To say, that's great. I'm so glad. It's such a wonderful thing. Hey, one day I'll get my turn. One day it's going to be me. And guess what? I know when it's you, you want people to be happy for you. Come on, we've all been there. When you get something new and you show someone, because you're so excited, and they're like, oh, it's okay. That happened to a family member. They spent like $15,000 remodeling their kitchen. Rabbi Carroll and myself, we went over. Oh, we doted over the kitchen. It's gorgeous. I mean, what's not to like, right? New countertops, new cabinets, and everything's beautiful. But they were telling us, oh, it's so great having you guys over, because when my kids came over, they said, oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's all right. Why'd you do that? And how come you didn't do this? I mean, that doesn't feel good, does it? So if we want others to be happy for us, we need to be happy for others. Love isn't boastful or proud. I have a question. Are you boastful? Do you always have to share your story with others? When you enter into conversations with others, Are you first to say what's going on in your life? Facebook junkies. Do you know what? I went dark on Facebook. The more I see Facebook, the more it irritates me. I want to be written in God's book, not on Facebook. Oh, and then look at me, I'm doing, who cares? Who cares? It's not about what I'm doing. Like, anyone gives a what I'm doing? They don't care. They got their own stuff to do. They need to see what I'm doing. But it's pride that thinks that people are so interested in what I'm doing, my every second. Of course, you probably drop work to watch what I'm doing, because what I'm doing is so valuable. Follow me, you followers of me, because I am muy importante for you Spanish speakers. How'd I do, all right? Yeah, you know, part of maturing in God is getting over yourself. God is what it's about. He's awesome. And, you know, the funny thing is, the more you realize is that it's pretty cool that God is into us at all. You know, that God's into us at all is like a win for us. He's so awesome, so worthy. And he looks at us and says, hey, I love you. Get in on some of this. Get in on what I'm doing on my kingdom. Trust me, there's nothing to be so proud about and boastful. We are not that great, but we do serve a great and awesome God. Amen? So this is what love does. It's the antithesis of pride. Love listens to others. So listen to others. If we are always talking, when do we listen? Start by listening to your own words. And if I heard this is a good exercise to do. Have someone record you for a day and then play it back and see what you think. See what you think. Wow, I talked about myself all day long. Tehillim 10 says, for the wicked boasts of his heart desire. Wicked people do that. Tehillim 34:2 says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Who does the humble boast in? God. What does that mean? That only God's worthy. God's worthy to be boasted about. You can't say enough good things about God, because he is everything, every superlative that you can name. He is that and more. And one day you're going to see him in his full glory. And that's why you're going to be blown away when we get to heaven. You're going to say, hey, he ain't lying. He is really, wow. Make sure what's coming out of your mouth glorifies God and lifts others up. Next thing, know what love is about? It's about not being rude. People are so rude, aren't they? People could be rude. Guys, believers could be rude. You could be rude. I could be rude. And don't we know how to be rude? Oh, we could get rude in a heartbeat. Yeah. The Greek phrase could literally be translated, love does not act unbecomingly or act inappropriately. Agape love does not seek to cause problems. Don't be a problem maker at work. Don't be a troublemaker. Don't be that guy. Agape love does not seek to cause problems, and it does not belittle others. Agape love involves choosing appropriate actions and responses that help other people. That help people. Can you imagine making your life about helping people? Well, Rabbi, my job, it doesn't really afford me that, but your life can afford you that. To help people. You know, I term it making friends. Now you make friends when you're kind to people. You know, I can remember all the folks as I, you know, was coming up in the faith that were like unkind to me. You can remember those folks. It's like, and not in a bad way, like I don't have any malicious things about them, but this is what my sense toward them are. I want to like stay away. Like when you see them, you want to like go the other direction. No offense, but I want to avoid that one because they're not very nice. They're rude. Do you think they did that to Yeshua? You think they were avoiding him? No, we know the scripture says the exact opposite. They were running after him. They wanted to be around him. Love isn't selfish. I'm going to just give you one verse. Do nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. So from the rest of the day, do nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. I know it's Shabbat. You want to do nothing. But it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Say that with me. Value others above yourself. If you live your life like that, valuing others above yourself, now you're starting to get the gist of what it is to walk in love. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You ever been that person where you were in a season where you got flustered? Maybe you had a little flood in your house, your car broke down, you were a little bit of jam, and someone came to your aid and they just helped you. And they said, okay, they took kind of the bull by the horn, so to speak, and they just started helping you and going out of their way and getting your stuff in. And they made the process, which would have been a nightmare, so much easier. That's what that's about. Us living our lives like that to be a help toward others. It's not selfish. Love is not quick-tempered because we want to walk in God's love. Aren't you glad God's not quick-tempered toward us? Imagine if he was. That'd be a funny joke, right? God's quick-tempered. You know, Carol, there he goes, just got vaporized. You're walking around, you're seeing believers in the congregation, all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. 10 lightning strikes. Where'd they go? God got angry. Because they were being mean. You ever have one of those days where you just like, come on, let's be real, we're all there. You ever have one of those raunchy days where you're just like in a raunchy mood and you're just cranky and you're taking it out on everyone? Your whole family, they're like, I get it, Dad, you're cranky. You know, and you're just taking it out on the world. And then all of a sudden, later on in the day, you come to your senses and you say, that was ugly. And then you go to God like a little puppy because you're like, God, I was pretty bad there, God, for the past 10 hours. Forgive me. Have mercy. Aren't you glad that he wants to have mercy on us? That he's not quick-tempered and say, you want mercy? I'm going to give you for the next 10 hours what you gave everyone else today. I'm going to punch you around for 10 hours and see how you like it. But that's not who God is, and that's not what agape is. It's not quick-tempered. It's merciful. Slow to anger. Doesn't have a short fuse. Patience includes the ability to tolerate weakness in others without getting angry at them. It's about covering a multitude of sins. If you're married, then you know how to, you know the principle. Because you have the opportunity to get on your spouse for a lot of things. Rabbi Carol could have a list very long. Or she could cover a multitude. Right? It's really a choice. But love, since it's action, it's demonstration, that's what it chooses to do. Oh, yeah, sometimes I deserve a good bop on the head. What do you do that for? Doing that for? I'll do that. That's what I deserve. But I don't get that. Right? What do you like? Don't be quick-tempered. Be patient. And then how about this one? For married folk, you probably get this. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. Oh, come on. You've had those fights, right? Man, you reach back all the way to 1972. Yeah, you reach way back into your arsenal. Remember when you did that? Here you have it. See, you see how I'm acting today? Well, remember when you did this? I never forgot. But the scripture says love, real love, doesn't keep a record. It doesn't go back into the archives because the archives have been removed. What archives? That's how God's with us. God, I'm so, you know, this is for the people that can't receive God's mercy. I want to encourage you. You know when you, and if this is you, you know who you are. God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, God. I blew it. And you walk around depressed because you blew it. Then 5 minutes later, you're back to God. God, I'm really sorry. I blew it. I blew it. This is what God's saying. You blew what? Well, you know when I did that? You did what? It's not in the archives. But God, remember, I just did it 10 minutes ago. I don't see it. It's not on the shelf. But God, I just, not there. This is what we need to be like in real life toward others. We work with people. We interact with people. We all have families. And let me tell you, if you have a family, that's plenty. That's all you need to have opportunities, right? To keep a little record, a little working little black book of wrongs. God says, don't do it. Love is not resentful and it doesn't keep score. Next thing, love rejoices in truth, but not in evil. The verb has a sense of joyfully celebrates the truth. Rejoices in truth, but not in evil. Friends, I look at a society that rejoices in evil. Even the believing society, I see folks being happy for things that are sin. And friend, listen, God's love makes him incapable of winking at sin. Because if God winks at sin, it'd be the equivalent of a doctor. You're walking into the doctor's office, and he's seeing your arm ready to fall off, hanging on by a thread, and him saying, you look pretty good. And then gives you a big pat on the arm as your arm falls off at the table. And he walks out the door and closes it and leaves. In other words, God would be doing us no favor at all if he just turned his back on our sin, on evil. And as believers, we can't do it because people, their sin, evil, keeps people separated from a holy God. Do you understand that? We're coming up to Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, right? Where people are going to come and say they're going to be right with God. Well, that's a great thing, right? It's a noble thing, because if we're not right with God, if we're not holy in His sight, guess what? We're separated from God. That means we have no access to the King of the universe. That's a problem. And if we don't tell other people that, and I'm not saying in a hellfire and brimstone sort of way, I'm saying in a truthful, loving way, hey, friend, if you don't clean up your act, it's not going to go well for you. Listen, there's no other way to say it. If you don't get that arm sewed up, dude, it's going to fall off. And you're going to have one arm. One. Get it taken care of. Right? So when we see sin in the world, in the people that we love, God doesn't ignore it. He addresses it in love. He says, hey, Mike, that's wrong. Michael, you can't do that. You can't hold on to that attitude. It's going to work its way into your spirit and make you bitter. Give it up. Confess it. Get it out. Get rid of it. Why does he do that? Because he loves me. That's what love, real love, does. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. Love believes the best and trusts God when things are the worst. You hear that? Love believes the best and trusts God when some of us in this room are in bad spots. But love trusts God even when you're in a tough spot, counting Him faithful. Yeshua was in a tough spot. He knows about tough spots. And he trusted the Father. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trusting. And the last thing, and I'm going to close with this, because we're talking about really the greatest thing is love. The greatest thing, it's the highest thing, not lust, love. Not feeling, demonstration, action. Love never fails. You want to know why love can't fail? Because God is love and God cannot fail. God will not fail. Love, friend, at the end of the day, at the culmination of the age, at tikkun olam, love will prevail. Period. Everything will be returned back to a perfect state because of God's love. God does not fail, even when it looked like sin would ruin God's relationship to mankind. He made a way and prevailed through Messiah. Think of that. Yochanan, I said this before, but everyone will know that you are my Talmidim by the fact that you have love for each other. When they see it demonstrated, they're going to know. I want to close out on love with one overarching concept about love that can help us keep all these nuances in perspective. And it's this. I said it earlier, but I want to repeat it. Because this is the overarching concept of love. For God so loved the world. Think about it. God so loved the world, it doesn't say, so he gave them everything they wanted. Their every whim, their every desire, their every need, their every craving. Right? Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life. That's the prize. Instead of being utterly destroyed. There's a little clue in that verse for us. We're either going to have eternal life or be utterly destroyed. What do you think of that one? Oops. Eternal life or utterly destroyed? No in between. So God gave us his son and showed us his love, not for God. You listen, you know what? God, because he's so good, will give us some of our desires. Not so interested in our desires, but he's interested in our destination. destroyed or eternal life? Destroyed or eternal life? He gave his son, showed us his love so we could have eternal life. And he knows eternal life in eternity, our every desire will be fulfilled. So I have a question for you. You're in this room. Are you on the path of destruction? Or are you trusting what Yeshua did on the tree, the sacrifice of the Messiah for eternal life? Destruction. Can you imagine the person who might want to spend, listen, because I lived with someone who would say stuff like this. Oh, that's all right. If I go to Gehinnom, if I go to hell, I'll play cards down there with my buddies. I don't think there's no card playing down there. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is all that's in store for the wicked. You know? And what path are you on? That's an important question. It's an eternal question. Destroyed or eternal life? It hinges on one decision we each make to serve Messiah. Keep his commandments, keep his mitzvot, do the right thing. So if you're in this room and you've never asked or accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, said, yes, God, I believe, I repent of my sins, and I'm going to turn to you and trust you for salvation. If you've never done that, listen, that's what the Hebrew Scriptures said needed to be done. Who has believed our report? Who's believed it? It sounds fantastical, the love of God. It really does. Why would God even think of doing that for us? Because he loves us. He is what love is. The embodiment of love is Yeshua. Willing to be treated as a criminal so you could live. So you could go scot, you, the guilty one, me, the guilty one, could go scot-free. And him, the innocent one, could take all our punishment. How's that for love? But you have a decision to make in this room. You're either going to choose to trust God and the sacrifice that he made so you could have eternal life, or you're going to say, no, Rabbi, I'm going to choose destruction instead. I truly and can't urge you enough to choose the life that God's offering you today. So I want you to pray with me. Just pray with me, all of us together. And if you really are doing it sincerely, then talk to me after. Say, Lord Yeshua, I thank you that you died for my sin. And I repent of my sin, my wickedness, my evil, the ways that I have failed you and sinned against you. Forgive me. Wash me clean by your precious blood. I believe and I choose to follow and trust Yeshua as my atoning sacrifice for my sin. Father, fill me with your Ruach. Help me to live every decision for the glory of God. Amen. You see, we cannot show God's love to others if we have not experienced God's love for ourselves. This verse demonstrates, like true love always does, how much God loves you. How much he loved you. You know, some of the things I read are mind-boggling. You ever read the verse where Rav Shul says, I wish I could be cut off for the sake of God's... Sometimes, every time I read that, I'm saying, boy, that'd be a hard... I don't know if I could get that one out. I could be separated from God on behalf of someone else. That is unbelievable. That I'll take a pass on eternity for someone else. Wow. Think of that. Think of the love. How many people are willing to do that? That's love. So think about this in closing. It was love that caused God to give the world that which was most precious to him, his son, Yeshua Messiah. So when the demands of love seem overwhelming to us, like I can't give anymore, right? Think of this principle, because this sums it up. Love gives. Say love gives.
Love
gives. Doesn't take, it gives. Say love gives. Love is giving, not getting. The American way is get, more, want. Heaven's way is give. And when you have nothing to give, give some more. Right. I think there was an old song that said something, love something, right? But we just can make a new song, love gives. That's what it does. It's the greatest of these attributes is to truly love like God and be giving. And here's the coolest thing, and I almost hate to tell you, because then we emphasize this. But the truth is, when we give to God in that way, truly selflessly give and start to operate in agape love and be giving of who we are to others like God was for us, God has a way of just getting more to us. But you can't get the cart before the horse, or else the whole thing doesn't work. But when we act in love and we add this attribute, the agape love of God, into our person, you'll be the most blessed person on the planet. That's what Abraham was, right? You'll be the most blessed because you'll be like God. You'll be giving, loving, genuine in everything you say and do. So let's stand to our feet. These truths ring true in every setting, from personal relationships to our congregational community. If we are in it to give, we will truly see the power that love can bring. We will. That includes your marriage. It includes your relationship with your children. It includes your family, your extended family, and the world around you. If that's how we live our life, love. Take a second and bow your heart before God and say, you know, the truth is only God. God is in the transforming business. He transforms our heart. And we have to allow God to transform our heart. And take a second and say, God, touch my heart. Let me be like you. Change me. Transform me. God, I choose to agree with you and to be like you and to love like you. To be not so centered on myself, but to be giving toward others. Lord, help me do it. Help me be that person. Amen. Amen. That's, you know, it's a simple message, but I'll tell you what, it's the most powerful thing you could ever do. Every relationship and every person you touch in your life will be transformed if you transform yourself into a loving person, an agape loving person. Everyone, everything. That's why Yeshua came and touched down on earth and had crowds of folk following him everywhere. They wanted in on some of that. Extend your hand. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Father, I pray that you would bless your people, God. Touch them, refresh them. Be with them, God, in a powerful and profound way. God, help them, Lord, to walk the way of love, we pray. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, Rob and Carol, we're available to pray. If you need prayer for something, please don't hesitate to come forward and pray and receive prayer.